We are continuing in our series on Jesus' farewell message. Those words that Bonnie just read are Jesus' words to his disciples during that Last Supper together. This was Jesus' final speech to his closest followers, instructions that he was leaving with them just before he was taken away. More than anything else he had said or done throughout their 3 years together, these are the words that Jesus wanted his disciples to remember and put into practice when he is gone. In the middle of this most important speech, Jesus said this to his friends, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Another translation says, "Prove to be my disciples. Prove yourself to be my disciples." Imagine the disciples still needing to prove themselves after all this time of following Jesus. Still another translation says, "My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." That's probably the most accurate translation in this case. The verb that Jesus used implies an ongoing process of becoming. Not that you already are my disciples and this is how you show it, but you're not actually my disciples until you do this. It's something that is not yet complete. I wonder how they felt when they heard Jesus say that. Like, what have we been for these past 3 years, Jesus, if not your disciples? I don't know how they felt, but I take comfort in it. If those 12 were still in the process of becoming disciples after all those 3 years with Jesus, well, then maybe there's still hope for me, isn't there? I take comfort in knowing that being a disciple is not about being perfect and having all the answers. Rather, discipleship is being on a journey with Jesus as he transforms us, making us into who he wants us to be. Now, I know that for some people, those words may ring hollow. There are some who will say, "I don't care about being a disciple. That's too much. I just want to be a Christian." Not that anybody here would say that, but others would. Keep in mind, though, that Jesus never called anybody to a religion. He calls us to a way of life. And that's what being a disciple means. It's a relationship. It's living our lives in relation to Christ, abiding in Christ. Jesus says it over and over again in this passage, "Abide in me, remain in me." To describe what this abiding looks like, how it works, Jesus used the image of a vine and its branches. He is the vine. We are the branches. In order to stay alive, the branch has to stay connected to the vine. As soon as the branch is removed from the vine, it begins to die. Likewise with us, when we are plugged into Christ, he gives us spiritual sustenance we need. But as soon as we become disconnected from him, our source of life is cut off. It doesn't take too long of being cut off from Christ before we are spiritually withered up and dead. "Abide in me as I abide in you," Jesus tells his disciples. William Barclay, one of the great New Testament interpreters of the 20th century, noted that there is a bit of mysticism in this idea of Christ abiding in us and us abiding in Christ. There's a mystical connection between us and Jesus here. But Barclay also noted that not many of us are mystics. Mystical experience might not resonate so strongly with us. But then Barclay says there is a much simpler way of looking at this and of understanding and experiencing it, a way which is open to anyone. Suppose, he writes, a person is by himself a weak person. Suppose he has actually fallen to temptation. Suppose he has made a mess of things. Suppose he is on his way down to degeneracy of mind and heart and mental fiber. Now suppose that this person has a friend of a strong and lovely and loving nature. And suppose this strong friend rescues this person from his degraded situation. There is only one way in which the weaker person can keep himself on the right way. He must keep contact with his friend. If he loses that contact, all the chances are that his weakness will overcome him. The old temptations will rear their heads again, and he will fall. His salvation lies in continual contact with the strength of his friend. When we begin to lose touch with God, when we cease to abide in Christ, we fall into all kinds of temptations. We fall into worshiping all kinds of idols. We may not construct a golden calf or carve a graven image, but we do turn all kinds of things into idols, giving them the primary place in our lives. Job security, financial gain, social status, popularity, food and drink, leisure activities, March Madness. None of those are bad things, but none of them are God. When we look for life in those other things, forgetting that life comes only from God, when we begin to put Christ on the back burner, then we cease being his disciples. Then we cease glorifying God. My Father is glorified by this, said Jesus, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. Philip Yancey is one of my favorite Christian authors. In his book, Reaching for the Invisible God, Yancey writes about spiritual amnesia. He writes, distractions can push God away from the center of my life. In truth, they push God out of my field of consciousness altogether. I work alone, as every writer must, so I cannot blame my God forgetfulness on other people. Even more embarrassing to admit, he writes, I make my living writing books about God. I read devotional or theological books, check items off my to-do list, write a chapter or an article, and collect any thoughts that might someday make their way into my writing. It amazes me how I can sail through this daily routine without giving God much thought or putting into practice what I write. I can relate to that. I am made painfully aware sometimes that just because I'm working on a sermon doesn't mean I'm centered on God. Just because we are in church on Sunday morning does not mean we're following Jesus. Just because you call yourself a Christian does not mean you are abiding in Christ. For Yancey, he says that he found he needed to intentionally develop the habit of remembering God throughout the day. For a while, he found it helpful to set the alarm on his watch to chime each hour on the hour, reminding him to pray and reflect on God's presence in that hour. He later learned that he had stumbled onto an ancient tradition that had been practiced by Benedictine monks for centuries, not through watch alarms, but the chiming of the abbey bells, calling them to prayer at certain hours throughout the day. Brother Lawrence was a cook in a 17th century monastery. He wrote a book which has become a devotional classic called The Practice of the Presence of God. The practice of the presence of God, having a constant awareness of God, abiding in Christ, it takes practice. In practice of the presence of God, Brother Lawrence talks about our constant need for God's help. And then he asks, but how can we ask him without being with him? And how can we be with him without often thinking of him? And how can we often think of him without forming a holy habit of doing so? A holy habit of remembering God. Brother Lawrence practiced being mindful of God in everything that he did. In his eulogy, his abbey wrote, "The good brother found God everywhere, as much while he was repairing shoes as while he was praying with the community. It was God, not the task, he had in view. He knew that the more the task was against his natural inclinations, the greater was his love in offering it to God." You don't have to be a monk in order to practice the presence of God, practice giving everything that you do over to Christ. You don't have to become a pastor. In fact, for some people, becoming a pastor might set them back from abiding in Christ. If Brother Lawrence could find God while repairing shoes, then surely you can find God doing whatever it is you do every day. The point is not what you do. The point is doing what you do in Christ. Doing whatever you do to the glory of God. In fact, you don't have to actually do anything. Jesus talks about bearing much fruit, which makes us think that we'd better get busy and accomplish a whole lot of tasks for Jesus in order to make him happy. We better be incredibly active doing this and that and checking things off our list of great accomplishments. But in this passage where Jesus talks about bearing much fruit, he also says that the best and the only way for us to do that is to abide in him. And that word abide is one of the least active, most passive words you can imagine. Abide, it literally means remain, stay, rest, linger. I am the vine, you are the branches, said Jesus. Whoever abides in me, whoever remains in me, whoever rests in me, whoever lingers in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Do you know what a branch has to do in order to bear fruit? Stay connected to the vine. That's all. That's it. That's everything. That's all that a branch has to focus on. As if a branch could focus on something. If you were a grape branch, that is the only thing in the world you would have to worry about, staying attached to the vine. Do you need to produce fruit? Well, yes, of course you have to produce fruit. But how do you do that? By staying attached to the vine. You don't have to set a goal of how many grapes you're going to grow this week. You don't have to have an action plan of how you're going to produce those grapes. You don't have to fret over whether or not you're meeting your desired target. All you have to do is make sure that you stay connected to the vine, and the growth will take care of itself. The fruit will happen all on its own when you abide in the vine. This is the problem we get ourselves into when we become overly focused on the work we do for Jesus and neglect the time we spend with Jesus. Apart from me, you can do nothing, Jesus said. No matter how well intentioned we are, if we are trying to do it on our own, it will not work. The fruit won't last. It'll be rotten. Jesus said, whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Some branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. We were created to produce fruit for God. We are created to live in God's love and to share that love with others. We are created to live lives that bring glory to God. And if we are living according to our faith, if we are abiding in Christ's love, if we are staying connected to him, that is going to produce fruit. Christ's love is going to be shown forth in the choices that we make. Christ's love is going to be shown forth in the ways that we spend our money and the places that we spend our time. Christ's love is going to show in the assistance that we offer to those in need. It's going to show in the listening ear that we lend to someone who needs a friend. It's going to show in the compassion we offer to someone in need of understanding. It's going to show in the forgiveness we extend to someone in need of reconciliation. It's going to show in the way that we treat other people to their face and in how we talk about them behind their back. If we are truly abiding in Christ, if we are living in him, if we are resting in him, if we are receiving life from him, then the love of Jesus is bound to come pouring out of us in all kinds of amazing ways. And if Christ's love is not pouring out of us in all kinds of amazing ways, then there is something wrong with our connection. Because I tell you, there's nothing wrong with the vine. The vine is perfect. The vine is loving. The vine is life-giving and fruit-producing. If your branch is not showing forth the sustenance that is coursing through the vine of Christ, then perhaps your branch got disconnected. But you know, the amazing thing about God, He is constantly grafting branches back in. There is no branch that the master gardener cannot graft back into the vine. If your branch has somehow gotten cut off, if you're not currently receiving the enlivening sustenance of Christ's love, it's not too late to get plugged back in. Your branch hasn't been thrown into the fire yet. Yet. God is able to take any branch and graft it back in through Jesus Christ because of His amazing redemptive love. But here's the thing. You have to be willing to be connected and to do what you can to stay connected. You have to be willing to grow and to be pruned and to be transformed as the vine pours new life into you. You have to be willing to allow the fruit of Christ's love to pour out of you. By this, we become His disciples. It's an ongoing process, something that we grow into. Being His disciple isn't about having attained some level of perfection that places me above the ordinary Christian. Discipleship is simply this process of growing in Christ, and it's a growth that He wants for all of us. He calls every one of us into this way of life. And how does it come about? Simply by abiding in Him, staying connected to Him, staying attached to the life-giving vine that is Jesus Christ. When you are connected to Christ, when you are abiding in Him, you are going to grow. You're going to grow in your faith. You're going to grow in your trust. You're going to grow in your love of God and of others. You're going to grow in your understanding of God and God's workings in your life. And you are going to bear much fruit. May it be so.